1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is Your Turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's Your Turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Good afternoon. My name is Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. As always, I encourage you to visit our website at www.cfif.org, where you can learn more about the Center for Individual Freedom. And also, please sign up for our free lunchtime liberty update. Joining us on the program, a special guest. We have him on quite frequently. I'm pleased to welcome back Quinn Hillier. Quinn, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be on with you, Renee. Thank you so much.
We're happy to have you on. So have you spent much of the day at all today watching the hearings? Obviously, it's on a lot of folks' minds what's going on in Washington, D.C. today with the Sotomayor confirmation hearings.
Well, I kept one eye on the hearings as they went on all day. I was frankly appalled at some of the things that the chairman of the committee, Pat Leahy, said.
Give us some examples.
Well, he tried to set it up so that anybody who even brings up her own statements and actions concerning race or ethnicity, he tried to make it sound as if they would be questioning her ethnicity, which, of course, is exactly the opposite of what the case is. The second thing that he did was he took a couple of really nasty and unfair shots at former Republican nominee Miguel Estrada, where, first of all, he said that Republicans had not brought Estrada up for a hearing, which was not true. And then he said, well, you know, Mr. Estrada, you know, I guess he just didn't want to wait for his hearing because he had a, from what I understand, a very lucrative offer waiting for him from a law firm.
Now, what?
The reason that Miguel Estrada is not a judge right now is because he was greedy rather than the fact that he was filibustered for something like 2.5 years in the very first ever filibuster to death of a sitting, of a judicial nominee in American history.
What, you know, help me understand the motive that Leahy would have. I mean, just trying to deflect attention from Sotomayor, the only connection I see between the two is that they're both Hispanic.
Well, Republicans brought up Estrada to say, now, don't you say that that we are opposing Sotomayor because she is Hispanic.
Okay, there you go.
We would have been delighted to have a Hispanic person on the bench and probably on the Supreme Court. We were very much in favor of Miguel Estrada, whose life story is at least as compelling, but you blocked us. And so Leahy answered first with his falsehood that Republicans had kept him from having a hearing, and then with his shot, making it sound like Estrada was greedy.
All right, let me ask you this. As you watched the confirmation hearings unfold, obviously, you know, the first day is just filled, I think, with a lot of pontificating. You've got, you know, the different senators, opening statements given. And then I think Sonia Sotomayor spoke for about 5 minutes, if I'm right about that. She'll come back tomorrow, of course, to begin all of the questioning. Quinn, is the process that people can watch, is that everything that's right or everything that's wrong with politics in America?
Well, the process this time does look like it's going to be more right than wrong, but that's because this time the opposition is acting responsibly. You know, when Republicans had court nominees up that the Democrats didn't like, the Democrats spent a lot of time smearing those nominees, questioning the motivations of the nominees, questioning the truthfulness, the integrity of the nominees, questioning whether they were actually racist or other, you know, other terrible things. And so it was the politics of personal destruction. In this case, Republicans have made clear right from the start that they are going to be very respectful of Judge Sotomayor, and that they are going to base their questions and comments exclusively on her record, exclusively on her own statements, and all with a very respectful tone. So in that sense, if they stick to it, and if the Democrats let them stick to it, then it should be more of what's right with American politics.
Very good. All right, well, that remains to be seen. We're going to take a question. Go ahead, AJ, it's your turn. You there, AJ? Hello? All right, we may have lost him. AJ, if you want to call back, please feel free to do so. I think we've lost you for the time being. In the meantime, let me ask you this. Obviously, you know, one of the statements that she made that everyone is, you know, wants explanation is leery about is her wise Latina woman. But you've alerted folks in some of the things that you've written to a couple other statements that she seems to have gotten a pass on so far. Tell us about those.
In the very same speech where she made the quote about the wise Latina woman being better able to reach good decisions than a wise white male, she said two things that were much worse. One, in the same paragraph as the wise Latina line, she said that it might be because of either inherent physiological or cultural differences. Physiological or cultural differences being the reason why a Latina would make better decisions. Now, what that is saying, I mean, that's straight out of every racial playbook in the world, saying that you have inherent genetic characteristics that make you smarter than somebody from another race or ethnicity. And that's appalling. So anybody that raises inherent physiological differences in mental capacity between races or ethnicities automatically should have a strike against them. I don't know why people haven't focused more on that. The next thing was even worse than that. She said that her ethnicity or her national origin would help determine what, and I'm quoting, what, quote, facts I choose to see as a judge. So she's going to pick and choose among facts. She's not going to look at all of the facts. She's only going to look at the ones she wants to see. That is the very definition of a stacked deck of rigged rules of an unfair judge is somebody who's not going to look at all the facts.
Obviously, when she made these statements, I think you've referenced in 2001 and repeated again in 2002 and 2003, probably the furthest thing from her mind was a Supreme Court nomination.
I don't know what she was thinking, because she knew that that she would be on a short list if a Democrat ever got back in the White House.
Huh?
But, I mean, because they'd said that back in the 90s.
Wow.
That she would probably be on a short list. So I don't know what she was thinking, but it, you know, if she said it once off the cuff, that's one thing. She said it instead not off the cuff, but in formal remarks, and then repeated it in formal remarks two other times, and that is just going way beyond. That's, to me, it's just utterly outrageous.
Well, and of course the mainstream media is giving her a pass. All right, we've got a couple callers. Let's go ahead and take them. Go ahead, AJ, it's your turn.
Yes, I kind of like to make a statement in regards to the Republican Party, and I know they want to play nice, but you can't play nice with these liberals anymore. You're going to have to play the same game as liberals do. I mean, you have to point out a fact that her record's horrible. She's a racist. If this was a white conservative judge who belonged to the Klan, you know what would happen. So the Republican Party is going to have to quit being nice all the time. If they want to win elections in 2010 and 2012, they're going to have to fight the same game as liberal, play by their rules, their game, get downright mean and nasty. If not, you're not going to win elections in 2010 or 2012. You might as well forget it. People are tired of the Republican Party being too nice, being afraid of being called racist or any other name in the book. This is ridiculous.
Well, the leading, I mean, I guess, you know, Quinn, I'll add to that a question, which is, do the Republicans on the committee have it in them? I mean, Jeff Sessions from, you know, right here to our north, within our listening audience, do they have it in? Do they have it in them?
No, they don't.
Well,
You know, they talk about 2010. They might as well forget it. They don't show any fight now. They might as well forget it. People are going to start voting for independents, for people who will fight, will call these liberals on the carpet, and some of these nasty Democrats up there. These guys are nasty. All they think about is themselves, making money off on the side, and putting a racist up there on the Supreme Court. Are they out of their mind? We're not going to forget about this. Why do you think a lot of people are quitting the Republican Party? They're tired of them putting their heads in the sand all the time.
Rolling
enough
over.
Is enough.
Mm-hmm.
So either they get their act together or they might as well kiss it goodbye.
Yeah. Quinn, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are I agree in part and disagree in part with the caller. I absolutely agree Republicans have to be tough. It doesn't mean they have to be mean and nasty, but they have to be tough. They cannot just sort of slink away or put up sort of part of a fight and then back down. No, they have to absolutely stand up for principle, and they have to be as tough as the Democrats. But if they get mean and nasty and vicious, it's actually going to look bad, and it's going to make them look like the bad guys rather than them the guys doing an honorable job. So they need to figure out how to be as tough as they can be while still being respectful, and that means sticking to the fact and sticking to their own principles and refusing to budge from either one and refusing to accept any guff from the Democrats either. But that doesn't mean personal smears. It just means being tough on the real things.
Well, if you don't mind me saying this, the liberals play to win, and that's all there is to it. It's like everybody realizes and looks at the liberals, they got it in them to win. They're going to do anything to win. And they look at the Republicans as being weak. And this is the main problem. And that's why I think the Republicans are going to lose elections in 2010 real badly. They're going to get their noses bloodied. Why do you think
Republicans
are going to the end of the
party? Let me jump in. Republicans do need to play to win. What I'm suggesting is that if they play mean and nasty, then they're going to lose because public opinion is going to turn against them. They have to play tough and strong and play to win.
Play smart.
But not cheat.
Play smart.
And by the way, you asked about Jeff Sessions. He's doing that already. He made a very respectful but incredibly tough-minded opening statement that showed everything that was wrong with Sotomayor's record, and he's not going to back down, and he's doing it right.
Yeah, he said, I will not vote for, and no senator should vote for, an individual nominated by any president who believes it is acceptable for a judge to allow their own personal background, gender, prejudices, or sympathies to sway their decision. Call it empathy, call it prejudice, or call it sympathy, but whatever it is, it's not law. In truth, it's more akin to politics, and politics has no place in the courtroom.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly, but put it this way, like I said, if this is a Republican up there who belongs to the Klan and the Aryan Nations, reverse this logic right back in their face and say, look, La Raza is a racist organization. She supports racist views.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to change. She needs to be out of here. You would do the same thing to somebody if they had an R next to their name. That's all there is. It should be case closed and her record stinks.
Well, thanks, AJ. We appreciate the call. We've got to take a quick break, and I've got Chad on hold. We'll take his call when we come right back. We're talking with Quinn Hillier. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If you've just tuned in, we are talking with Quinn Hillier. He's a senior editorial writer at the Washington Times and senior editor of American Spectator. And we are talking about what everyone's talking about today, and that's the Sonia Sotomayor Supreme Court nomination hearings that are taking place on Capitol Hill. And on hold is Chad. Chad, thanks so much. It's your turn.
Hi, how are you both of you doing?
Great. Thanks for holding. I appreciate it.
I was calling that this is it's amazing that these Supreme Court justices get through with as little questioning as they got. Last week, Justice Ginsburg was interviewed by the New York Times, and in that, of course, they went on and on with question after question regarding Roe versus Wade, and Justice Ginsburg had one of the most revealing quotes I think I've ever seen that's never been reported by the mainstream media.
Hmm.
And this quote, they were talking about the Hyde Amendment, which took away public funding for abortion, Medicaid.
Right.
And this is her words. Frankly, I had thought at the time Roe had been decided, there was concern about population growth, and particularly growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of. I mean, anybody can look this up. It was New York Times last week, interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's eugenics. I don't know what you want to call it, but she went on to talk about how she was surprised that they took the Medicaid funding away for abortion because it wasn't getting rid of the people they wanted to get rid of then.
Wow.
No one's reporting these things, and to get into the mindset of the people that are controlling our country is imperative, and it just doesn't seem to be being taken care of anymore. So I'll get your comments on that and let the next caller come in.
Chad, thanks for alerting us to that. I am going to look that up and follow up on that. Quinn, were you familiar with that quote? Has anyone reported on it? I mean, you're obviously, you know, as a writer and an editor, very much closer to this than a lot of us.
Chad is absolutely right. Those are the exact words that Justice Ginsburg used. And it's actually very much in keeping with the whole Planned Parenthood history. Planned Parenthood was founded by Margaret Sanger, and Margaret Sanger's main purpose was racist, was definitively racist. She was trying to control the black population. She was open about it back in, I think it was either the late 1920s or early 1930s, and one of the ways she would do it would be to make abortion legal so they could legally abort black babies. That is just a fact. And now I'm not saying Justice Ginsburg is saying that, but what Justice Ginsburg said is very much in keeping with the idea of whatever population you don't like, that's what you use abortion against. And those were her words. Chad quoted them absolutely correctly, and it is absolutely appalling.
There's one other thing if I could add.
Please.
People need to be aware the people that are now the hierarchy, whatever the elite of our country, I'll name one in particular, Bill Gates, the richest man in the world. While he was growing up, his father was the head of Planned Parenthood. There is Warren Buffett has given millions, billions of dollars to global population control. Planned Parenthood has always been one of his favorite donations. I mean, I think he brought it up in a speech just a few weeks back that someone had criticized him, and he said that went on about how women's rights and this and that, and he got a standing ovation. And people just need to see that the people that are controlling our country are taking us down a terrible path.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm hopeful that, you know, I mean, they started the hearing today. I think it was Leahy or someone who started the hearing today saying that they fully expect, Lindsey Graham, that unless you have a complete meltdown, you're going to get confirmed. And I don't think you'll have a meltdown. Okay, everyone maybe, you know, the majority of the people may believe that. But I think, Chad, the point that you're getting to is, regardless of if she is or isn't, we need to have these conversations. This information needs to be out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So the mainstream media really doesn't cover things that they're supposed to cover now. They actually cover up rather than bringing the light of truth to everything. And that's pretty much all I had.
All right.
Wanted to get that out.
Well, thanks, Chad. We appreciate it. Thanks for doing some fact-checking for us, too. We appreciate it. Okay, Steve, go ahead. It's your turn. We got about 3 minutes left. You there, Steve?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Quinn, I've heard different levels of or percentages of cases that have been overturned by Sotomayor, by the Supreme Court of Sotomayor's rulings. Do you have any like data on that as far as how often she's overturned?
Well, yes. The Senate Republican today put out a very accurate piece that said in whole or in part she has been overturned 9 out of 10 times. Now, what that means is that on some cases, the Supreme Court has completely overruled her. On several cases, they have agreed with her result, but unanimously taken shots at her legal reasoning or at her actions on the bench, as in saying that, well, she reached the right result, but she absolutely was wrong to cut it off at the stage of the process that she did without a full trial or something like that. So 9 out of 10 times she was, again, in whole or in part, reversed or castigated by the Supreme Court.
You believe that that's going to be, in these hearings, that that's going to be put out to the public?
Well, yeah, I'm sure that the Republicans will put that out. Now, I do have to say that in and of itself, those sorts of statistics can be misleading. In this case, I don't think they are misleading. But, you know, you could have a judge doing the right thing and the Supreme Court not being correct. But in this case, if you actually look at the cases, and get into the details of the cases where she reversed, she looks awfully bad because her decision just didn't even comport with common sense or the law, and the Supreme Court was right to strike her down.
Oh, good. Well, I hope the listeners will take that into account and contact their congressmen and their senators.
Steve, that's exactly what we need to do. Thank you for bringing that up, because it's good. It's all well and good that we sit and we talk about this, but the next question is, well, what do we do about it? So thank you for reminding us that's what we need to do about it. Well, it's time for us to take a break. I want to say goodbye to Quinn Hillier. Thank him again for coming on with us. He's the senior editorial writer at the Washington Times and senior editor of American Spectator. Stay tuned, though. When we come back, we're going to talk with Tim Lee. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court's most recent term, and we will continue the discussion of Sotomayor's record. Thanks again, Quinn. We appreciate it.